Glad to see you all this evening, especially some of those we haven't seen in quite a while. Very happy to see those out. I have a thought on my heart. I desire prayer that the Lord would help me to deliver it. My thought this evening is, where is our hope? And I don't intend that to necessarily imply that we're in trouble. I want this to be an encouraging message, because it was an encouragement to me. I'd like to start off, and we'll spend probably most of the time in Psalms 102. Psalms 102nd chapter. And starting there in verse 1. Mine starts off with a title. It says, "A Prayer of the Afflicted, When He is Overwhelmed and Poureth Out His Complaint Before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. Hide not Thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline Thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." And looking at this, how it starts off, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. Have any of us ever had those days where you're afflicted and you're overwhelmed, you don't know where to go, you don't know where to turn? And it says, this man turned to the Lord. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." And one thing that struck me, it says, and he poured his complaint before the Lord, in the top part. And that struck me. Do we ever consider it okay to complain to the Lord? Or do we sometimes get our thoughts caught up that, you know, we need to be careful complaining to the Lord? So I looked at that word. And while that word is often translated complaint, it comes from a different word, a root word. And that root word means meditation, contemplation, prayer, talk, and utterance. So what we really have here is somebody who's in affliction, somebody who's suffering. He's feeling overwhelmed, and he's bringing his thoughts before God. He's saying, "Lord, I have to share these with you, Lord." Why? The question. Where is our hope? So this man brings his complaint to the Lord, not because he's frustrated, because he's upset, because he's having a woe is me moment. He's bringing this complaint before the Lord because he's like, "Lord, you're my hope. You're what I have to turn to. You are the only source I know of that can help me in the strait where I'm at." You know, and looking there, what does he ask? He's like, "Lord, hear my prayer. Turn your ear to me. Listen." Would he approach God if he didn't think God was going to listen? He doesn't want God to hide his face from him. And he also wants a speedy answer. Now, if you truly had a complaint, how many of y'all have ever... and no need to raise hands, but have ever been close to a complaint department or gone in to return something to a store and maybe got behind a person and they are really letting that person in the complaint department have it? I was at an airport once. Every flight had been canceled that day. There had been computer glitches with the plane routing software that helps them say what planes can fly where. And while it was a beautiful day, planes were canceled. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there must have been, it looked like 700-800 people lined up at that complaint counter. And I literally stood there from about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when my flight was canceled. I didn't get to talk to the person at the counter to find out when my next flight would be till almost 9:30 at night. So 5.5 hours standing in line and listening to some of what was being, I'm going to say, blasted at the poor person behind the counter that had no more control of that software than anybody else. But some of those people would, the way they would project their complaint, you could tell they had no hope. They were just mad. They were angry. They didn't really expect the person to do anything for them. And what surprised me is the person really didn't. They would listen to the person, and whatever that person was kind of saying they would settle for, that's what the person got. And I got up there, and I work with computers, so I'm very familiar with how cantankerous those things can be. So I just kind of chuckled and told the lady, look, I understand the predicament y'all in. I just need to know when can I get another flight out of here. And the lady looked. She goes, oh, hold on. She goes, well, the earliest flight I have is 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I was like, all right, well, I'll take that. And she goes, okay. And so she prints out the boarding pass. And she goes, hold on a second. And next thing I know, she's handing me a voucher and a pass to get on a little shuttle bus and go to a hotel for the night. Things that the people that were complaining, I'm going to say without hope, didn't get. And you know, sometimes I think when we go before God, we forget. He's the God of hope. This man went before God and he's like, you know, Lord, I'm going to bring my thoughts before you. I'm going to ask you to turn your ear to me. I want you to look my direction. And if possible, could you answer speedily? And then he continues on, and because I want this to be positive, I'm not going to read his woes out. If you all want to read the terrible state he was in, he was in a strait. But we're going to drop on down to verse 12. Because in verse 12, there's a change in tone. He stops talking about his complaint, his thoughts, his troubles. And he goes, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. Now I found it interesting. Here he's been talking to the Lord, saying how miserable he is, how dried up his soul, his body is. But then he starts going into why he's talking to the Lord. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. God, you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I know that in spite of whatever I'm facing, Lord, you have everything under control. He talks about when it says, you know, the Lord would endure forever and all generations would remember. I looked up that word. It means to remember the works, the name. Remember his word, his wonderful goodness. So he's saying, Lord, I'm bringing this complaint before you because I know you're a wonderful God. And there's a remembrance I have. And there may be a remembrance for those following after me of how you answered my complaint. And he even mentions, you know, basically, there's a set time for things. You know, he's kind of comparing the Lord to his state. The Lord continues forever. He realizes, I don't, Lord. I know I'm a finite person. But then he also brings up what? Zion. Now, back here, it would have been the physical city. But for us, we know that there is a Zion, a city that we all look toward. And he mentions, you know, Lord, we look towards that city. We value just the dust of it. How many of us here today, if we could get to the true city of God, the city of Zion, would be happy to pick up a handful of dust in the heavenly city? Wouldn't we want that? Lord, just let me get one handful of dust. Put it in my pocket, carry it around. So this man is looking down the road. He has hope. Continuing on in verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people shall be which shall be created shall praise the Lord. So once again here, this man continues. He continues with hope. In the midst of his overwhelmed, just destitute state, what is part of his hope? The heathen shall fear your name, Lord. Whatever you do, the heathen will fear it. And all the kings of earth will know of your glory. And then he talks more about the city of Zion, where God will appear. But then he also, in verse 17, talks about some of the specific hopes that he has. He, God, will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This word destitute comes from the word that means desert. If you think about a desert, what's in the desert? Nothing. Most deserts are stripped of there's not really soil, it's sand. There's no water, there's very little plant life, very little animal life. It just looks barren and hopeless. Can we as people get that way? Where we just feel so dried up, so destitute, Lord, I don't have anything left in me. But his hope is that God looks to the destitute. He looks to those people and says, I hear your prayer. You may not have anything. You know, destitute also means poor. The one thing that he has a hope of, Lord, I have nothing to give you. I can't redeem myself. I can't ransom myself. That's beyond me. But Lord, you're the God I know that looks to the destitute. You turn and hear our prayer. We don't have to worry about, do I have enough money to pay for this? And then the part there, verse 18, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. He has a hope. Here he is writing down his prayer. And his hope, his stated belief, is that, Lord, this prayer is going to be an encouragement to those coming behind me. Now, We don't know if this particular prayer got answered. You know, that's something that we don't have. But, you know, he had a hope. An unanswered prayer, what kind of hope is it to record unanswered prayers? I mean, if you went through life and said, I'm going to start a prayer journal. And I'm going to write down all my unanswered prayers. That's all I'm going to put in this journal. Would you find that very helpful to go back and read later? Or would you probably be like, Lord, I don't know. I feel like this man writing this is saying, Lord, I have a hope. That while I don't know if you're answering this prayer yet, I have an expectation. My hope is that this prayer is going to get answered. It's going to be answered in a way that it'll get written down, and the following generations will know. They will believe and praise your name. You know, he also had a vision with that. Starting there in verse 19, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. So here he is. He's like, Lord, you're going to look my direction. I'm destitute. But I know you. I know you're a God. You look down and you see the people that are bound up. You see those that are just unable to help themselves, that need deliverance. And you don't look at them with contempt. You actually look at them that are bound in chains, appointed to death, and you desire them to know your wonderful name. You want them to praise you. And thinking about the vision he had here, he could see, if you will, in his mind's eye, God sitting in the city of Zion, looking down. Who do you think God was looking down at in this prayer? Somebody else? Or do you think this man saying, Lord, because I know you look on these prisoners from way up there, and you look on people that are crying out to you, I know you're looking at me. You're seeing my plight. It made me think of the verse Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Did this man have a vision? And in this vision, does it look like he's thinking he's perishing? Or does he have a hope? Now imagine if he couldn't see the vision of the Lord reaching down to help. What kind of hope would he have? If he didn't have the vision to be able to see, Lord, I know the God you are. Going on in verse 23. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. You know, here the man basically is summing up his complaint before the Lord, his thoughts, his feelings. Obviously, he feels like he's about to pass. He feels that the Lord is shortening his days. But I like the way he frames it. He frames it against the God of eternity. He weakeneth my strength in the way, he shortens my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. He steps back and says, Lord, I know I will pass at some time, but you're the God of all generations. Can you give me a few more days? Can you give me some years? You're the God that can do this. That's his hope. Do you know we have a story of that happening in the Bible? Hezekiah was told by the prophet, your days are at hand. Your time has been marked. Prepare. Hezekiah turned to the Lord. Turned his face to the wall and prayed. And the Lord heard him and extended his life. And wasn't that written down? Just like this man would expect his prayer, the answer to be written down. Why? For encouragement. When you're feeling overwhelmed, remember. Go back to the Bible, look at it. Do we honestly take the Bible stories and consider looking for circumstances similar to ours? And say, Lord, I know it's written. You've worked in this situation in the past. And guess what, Lord? That's my hope. That generation gave praise to your name in their time. And my hope, my expectation is, I will give praise to your name in my time for the same healing, the wonderful mercies. Continuing on now, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Here he's bringing his request to God to a close. And once again, he frames things in such a wonderful way that he puts himself in his proper place. I'm just a man, Lord, in this universe that you've created. And this universe that you created was built by you. It was came into existence at your word. Your hands formed it. And it's got a time when it's not going to be anymore. You're going to take this old heaven and earth, and he says, change it like a garment. You're going to take the old away. You're going to put the new out there. Once again, you know, this person's showing a vision to the future that even we still should be looking forward to. He had a vision beyond just the teaching of their day. He was looking to heaven. And his hope was such that, I can see it, Lord. I know this is going to happen. And then the other part that really strikes me there is the last verse. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Do you know that what he's basically saying with this last verse is, Lord, I know that this prayer may not be answered. You're the God of heaven. You can make any decision you want to make. It's yours. You're the God. But I also have a hope and a knowledge that my children can know you. And that the generations of people to come after me, there will be believers. There will be those that follow after. Even if I pass on, Lord, even if you do not heal me and I pass on, the hope is we're all still going towards that city. I would ask us, where's your hope? Can you see it? Abraham said he traveled looking for a city. Did he have a map showing where the city was at that he was going for? No, because he didn't have a geographical location. He had some attributes of the city that he was looking for. What was the attributes? Doesn't it say whose founder and maker was God? So he had a vision. He's like, Lord, you want me to travel to this city. And I don't even think it's on earth. Not this one anyway. But if you just want me to travel around till it gets here, I'm okay with that, Lord. Why? Because you're God. I trust you. You're the God that I have the hope in. You're the God that I expect to give me a son one day. An heir. Was Abraham's faith misplaced? No, he did have a son, didn't he? But beyond that, isn't he called the father of faith? He's viewed as a father to all of us, even if our direct, I guess you'd call it, human lineage doesn't go up through him. The fact was, we have the stories that give us hope, that came from him, that led to the children of Israel, and all of that down to Christ. Where is our hope? I hope you all are encouraged by that. Stay faithful, stay true. Sometimes in our day, I think it's easy to let the clamor of things just get overwhelming. I mentioned, at work, things being really busy on Friday. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to get done on Friday. I didn't get hardly any of it done. But you know what? I had a peace. Because God's in charge, and he knows everything that's going to happen. He knows what we can or cannot handle. And he doesn't let anything come our way we can't bear. Thinking of this poor soul here, and if you read their woes, that they seem to be in a very sad predicament. I would say physically, maybe even mentally. But the last part of that psalm is nothing but hope. Nothing but an expectation of positive praise to the Lord, something to be written down and to be shared with the following generations. Let's be encouraged. Y'all pray for me.